G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to what for 5 years now is your longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this past weekend. I was at AWA Final Destination at the Zoo, and it was an absolute heat wave there that night. It had to be about 34, 33 degrees, possibly hotter in the venue. And the main event of Adam Brooks and Showtime Jake Nova, for those guys to go out there and do what they did in that heat, I just hats off to the two lads. I was lucky enough to have a ringside seat to watch it, and they really did put on an amazing match. And so congratulations to those two. Hope you guys went out and supported local pro wrestling last past weekend and supported the shows that were on. I mean, we're heading into the pointy end of the year, as they say. And send the year out on a bang and send it. And now that people are starting to finish up work for the year, I mean, you got some time. Go out and see some local shows. So, yes. And speaking of, before I wanted to go on. I'd gotten a few messages about this, and I sort of want to address it. Everyone has been out there and reporting, and this is like everyone. I mean, Dave Meltzer as well has even reported it, that Jonah Rock has been signed by the WWE and will report in January. And sort of going, why haven't you sort of reported on it? And so the mere fact that the WWE hasn't said anything, and neither is Jonah. And so until one of those two people or entities say something, I won't be saying something. In my opinion, he should be signed. He should already have been signed. He should have been there long ago. We should already be watching him on NXT TakeOvers, put it that way. So, but until he does, and I really hope he has been signed, that's the reason why we haven't done it here at WRA. Because I would hate to think that they would see something that we'd done or seen something that we'd reported and think this guy's just going out and telling everyone he's been signed. Because you don't even know what they've planned. Maybe they have some elaborate plan to, if he has been signed, to debut him, and it was all a big secret sort of deal. And I would hate to think that something that we've done by going off and getting the scoop and all this sort of stuff might jeopardize that in some way, shape or form. So that is the reason. And nothing against Jonah at all. He is one of the true gentlemen of Australian wrestling. So there we go. Speaking of one of the true gentlemen of wrestling, and well, one of the best wrestlers in this country today, my guest for this week is the EPW champion and Grand Slam champion of EPW, Gavin McGavin. We talk all about influences he has and sort of his philosophies on training and that sort of deal. Really interesting conversation. I had a really good time with the guy. And I think without further ado, we'll get straight to it right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of
I am joined tonight by the EPW champion and Grand Slam champion winner, Gavin McGavin. How are you, sir? Thank you very much for joining me.
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've had quite a busy year, haven't you, this year for EPW, and now traveling around, and you've been twice now to RCW.
Yep, this will be my this weekend coming will be my second trip to Riot City Wrestling. It's been in the plan for months and months and years, really, from my end, wanting to get over there, but the stars haven't quite aligned, and luckily, two times in the last half this year, I've managed to make it over.
Yeah, I remember back in the days, this is a fair while ago, we were really trying to get you over there for with McMassive, and I don't think dates worked out for some reason.
No, yeah, it was difficult. We managed to get over to Adelaide to wrestle Rampage one time, but couldn't get over there for RCW at the time, unfortunately.
Mm. Speaking of Mick Massive, when because that was more of a, you sort of got to explore the lighter side, the more comedic sort of side. How hard was it for you, like, transitioning from that to sort of the character you are now, which is very sort of serious, real wrestler type character?
It wasn't too hard for me, because my other profession is that I'm a primary school teacher. So being the lovable, happy McMassive guy was pretty natural, because that's what I am usually in the first two terms of school. And then the angry guy that's telling everyone to shut up, that's usually the second two terms of school, like I am now, just 2 weeks before Christmas break.
With the whole the shoot fighter gimmick sort of thing,
yep.
Who influenced you, or who were the guys that you've watched when you were sort of growing up? Because I know you're a bit of a, you're not the younger guy that grew up in the Attitude sort of era. You came up a bit younger than, a bit before that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I'm a classic wrestling fan. In 1988, when I was 4 years old, Hulk Hogan was everything, and so I was watching him and absolutely loving Hulk Hogan. But then by the time the early 90s rolled around, I started to notice guys like Lord Steven Regal back then. And then I did get back into wrestling when it came back onto Australian TV with the Attitude Era, so Stone Cold and whatnot. So it was the big names that really attracted me. But the guys that I really, really watched and enjoyed their style of wrestling were people like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko. Dean Malenko was a huge one for me. So the real wrestler gimmick has really come from my early influences more than the shoot fighter gimmick did. The shoot fighter gimmick sort of came about by a joke being made and a nickname being given at training, and then it kind of stuck, so I had to build a character around it.
It's usually the way that works, though, isn't it? It's sort of like you just go with what works for you. I know what you mean by that, because when I started training, well, it's got to be near 7 years ago. I'm a bit older than what the normal guys were that were training. I think I started training when I was 35. So they all went around the ring and they were asking, like, who do you like growing up, blah, 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 sort of thing. And so, like, Undertaker, so Shawn Michaels. He got to me, I'm like, Arn Anderson. And Big Matty stopped. He was like, how old are you? I'm like, shut up.
That's a great choice. Arn Anderson's absolutely fantastic. I was watching a match of his just the other day, actually. Just absolutely phenomenal worker.
One of my favorite matches of his is something that I don't even know if anyone even remembers seeing it, because it was from like a WCW Pro episode. He had a match with Alex Wright. And the whole time during the match, he was throwing like his right hand punch. And then for the finish of the match, he faked the right hand punch. Alex Wright ducked it straight into his DDT.
And
I thought it was so brilliant. And from that day on, I was like, this is the dude. This is the guy.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolute workhorse. Like an amazing technical wrestler. Just could do the job. Could stick him in there with anyone. He was just such a reliable, great wrestler.
Speaking of yourself, you are a great wrestler. Did you find that you had to really fight sort of stereotypes over your size? Because you aren't the biggest guy in the world, but sort of seem to transcend that when you get in the ring, especially in ECW, because they have and have had some really big guys in there, like Chris Weiss, Marcus Pitt, that sort of. How hard was that to battle?
Yeah, that was really tricky. The first time I laid eyes on ECW product was the NWA tour in 2007. And I was sitting in the crowd. It was the day before my 23rd birthday, and I weighed 47 kilos, and I was 5'9", absolutely tiny. Never set foot in a gym, never really had an intention of doing so. And I saw it and went, oh, that's amazing. I'm going to start coming to all the shows. I won't do it because, you know, it's for big guys. Mm-hmm. And then I think I went along to the first or second show of the next year, which was Gold Rush, and then I went the next night, which was a TV taping. And two guys that I saw on there, first one was Alex Kingston. The other one was Dan Moore. Dan Moore was quite tall. He was 6'3", but not an overly huge built guy. And Alex Kingston was not massive by any stretch of the imagination back then. He's certainly more built up now than he was then, because he was a young kid. But I looked at him and went, oh, Like, if that guy can do it, if that size can wrestle in Australia, then maybe I could do this. So I set myself a goal to get to a certain weight. I think I wanted to get to 65 kilos or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort out all the advice and hit the protein shakes and hit the weights. And when I got to the weight that I want, I said, okay, I'm going to go do a tryout now. But, yeah, when I started it, it really was tricky. I think I probably put more limits on myself than anyone in APW did. APW, I don't think they see size that much as that important. If it just so happens that some of the guys we've got that were huge behemoths were also the best wrestlers that we had, the fantastic guys. Chris Weiss is an amazing wrestler. Marcus Pitt is an amazing wrestler. But, I mean, David Storm's never been a huge guy, one of the biggest guys, but he was probably the greatest champion that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Tyler Jacobs, not a huge guy by any stretch of the imagination. I think I'm a couple inches taller than he is. So I really put the pressure on myself, and it means that if you're going to be smaller, you need to really be good at what you're doing, because people will forgive size if the talent is there and if the heart and the dedication is there.
Oop, are you there?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, sorry, just dropped out for a second.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. What you've done that I really do enjoy and admire is that you haven't fallen for the trap of being a little guy, so you have to be a high flyer. You've decided that, like, this is the wrestling you like. You're going to get so good at it that you're undeniable, and that is that something that did you ever think about? Maybe you needed to be sort of like the Rey Mysterio cruiserweight high flyer type deal, or was it always that's it? Wrestling is what I love, and wrestling is what I want to do. So that's the sort of the side I'm going to focus on.
When I first came into wrestling, I remember everyone was really keen to learn all these big, high, fancy moves. And the first moment when I hit a move at training, I went, okay, I'm a wrestler now. So I hit a side headlock takeover. Lock up, headlock, side headlock takeover. And I'm like, yes, this is wrestling. This is mat wrestling. This is real wrestling. I used to even refer to it back then as real wrestling. And I tried to sort of stick to that sort of type of wrestling. I always really enjoyed doing chain wrestling and hold for hold and whatnot. But the problem is, to do hold for hold wrestling really well, you kind of need to be similar size to your opponent. And all the guys I was coming up against were just too big, and it wasn't their style. They like to brawl or whatnot. So if you're wrestling against a Bobby Marshall, you're not going to walk across there, lock up, and go hold for hold. You're going to hold on for dear life while he forearms you across the face. So, but then when I got into McMassive, I did sort of incorporate a bit more high flying. Most of it was him throwing me around the ring and whatnot, and I showed off a bit more the agility that I had, because I realised that I was getting sort of closer to 30, and I might not always have that agility, so I should probably use it while I've got it. And it was nice and exciting for the fans, and it was a good juxtaposition to the power game that he played. But where I am now, the wrestling style that I'm putting out there and that I'm putting in these main event matches and title matches and whatnot, that's the wrestling I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to go out there and trade hold for hold and work a limb and use real wrestling. And to me, there's no more beautiful move than just a nice snap suplex. I love those classic wrestling things. Yeah. Everything else is a variation and adding on a flip or a twist or whatnot. But I've always just been a real firm believer that it's not the moves. So as long as you can do the basics and you can do them well, as long as you can tell a story and make it make sense and make people believe and feel, then you're going to be able to have an amazing match.
Yeah, like Dynamite Kid snap suplex is my favorite suplex of all
time. Absolutely gorgeous, yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
A lot of guys nowadays are doing sort of MMA and that on the side, the jiu-jitsu on the side. Is that something that you sort of explored, or have you just focused solely on the catch-as-catch-can sort of style?
Well, we actually had a guy named Tommy who had moved over from the UK, and he trained at I'm trying to remember where he trained now. He trained in Wigan with Billy Robinson. He trained with him in catch wrestling years ago.
Unbelievable.
And he came and did a 10-week catch course with us, where we trained a couple of times a week in catch wrestling, and I absolutely loved it. The techniques translate so well, and we incorporate a lot of that sort of stuff into our training as well. Damien Slater, being one of the trainers at the School of Pro Wrestling that we run, he's quite well versed in jiu-jitsu and grappling and those sorts of things, so he imparts that onto the trainees and into the advanced guys as well. So we try and keep quite abreast of all the different techniques. We'll do some striking trainings at certain sessions, and we'll do grappling and submissions, and then, of course, more of the pro wrestling style training as well. We try and be as versatile as we can, because we know that, you know, one day you might be wrestling at APW and you need to be the brawler, and then you might be, you know, over in England and you're expected to be the tech guy, or you're over in Mexico and they want you to fly. So we try and produce wrestlers from APW that can wrestle any style anywhere.
You say wrestle any style anywhere. How much importance is put on ring psychology or match psychology in your training? Because I know I see that is lost a lot of the times around where guys will see all the highlight reels for PWG and all that, and they want to do all these move, but they don't want to sort of tell a story for that. How much importance do you put on at the school about doing the right move in the right place? Or sometimes you don't need to do 1,000 moves when 3 moves will be enough, sort of thing.
A lot, definitely a lot. And I can speak for myself with the training sessions that I run. I put a lot of emphasis on that. I'm a firm believer that if it doesn't need to be in the match, don't put it in there. If it doesn't make sense, don't put it in there. I like, you know, we're suspending people's disbelief and we can only suspend it so far. So we want to make sure they work within the confines of what makes sense and pardon me, and what works for the match and those sorts of things. You know, there's the classic wrestling style of getting your shit in and whatnot. Yeah. And while there is a place and a time for that, you know, if you're getting a small break on a small show and you want to get one quick big move in there that you can put into gift form and try and get yourself some bookings around the country, I can understand that. I'm really enjoying now that I'm getting longer matches and being able to wrestle and tell big stories and have feuds where we can have long overarching stories. It's really nice to be able to play that out in our art form, where like we tell that story with our bodies as opposed to, you know, sitting there and delivering monologues or those sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly. I like when somebody, or when I'm sitting down with guys and they're planning a match, when they'll do something at the start of the match or midway through the match, and then we'll sort of leave it alone and let it pay off at the end of the match. So the person who's really watching the match will go, oh, he set that up minutes ago. Do you know what I mean? That sort of deal. I love that idea of it's a game plan, and that paid out.
It's just basic good storytelling. All the best movies have a callback from what happened earlier on, and all the best stories have no wasted information. So if you're going to put something in there, make it add to it. So it's like we tell guys when they get their card posted, don't count your minutes, make your minutes count.
Yeah. I remember explaining to a guy a little while ago about a match being, if you're in a match that's in an angle, think of that match as a chapter in the book. Yep. And so you might do something here that will pay off in 3 months when you have your blow-off match, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You do something that's a lot different to a lot of the former EPW champions, and that is now you're really starting to branch out and travel around the country, not only just to wrestle, but also defending the title. Is that something that you're really looking forward to doing in the future, or is it just sort of something that's come along and you're sort of taking advantage of it?
It's something that I've always felt really, really passionate about. I was lucky enough as the EPW tag champion with McMassive to travel to Adelaide and defend it there. And then as the Coastal Champion, I managed to go to Newcastle Pro Wrestling and defend it there, I think, 4 times while I was champion. And now, pardon me, going to RCW to be able to defend the EPW Championship means a great deal to me, because I'm still a firm believer that EPW, we were the standard bearer for such a long time in Australian wrestling. I think that we still are one of the standard bearers, and we can take that top mantle again. And I want to... I'm very proud to be the EPW champion. I'm very proud to be from EPW, and I want to get as many eyes and as many ears focusing on EPW as possible. So if I can do that by literally championing the company around the country, I would absolutely love to do that. My goal for 2019 is to try and defend that EPW championship in every single state and territory. That would be my absolute dream goal.
Yeah, and you're also wanting to do something a lot like Jack Bonzo, who's been on this show, who you want to go around to the states that aren't as built up as say your Sydneys and your Melbournes and your Adelaides, mm-hmm. and you want to do seminars, so you want to really help bring along the youth of the business, don't you?
Absolutely, definitely. A good friend of EPW has recently moved to Darwin, and he's starting up Pro Wrestling Darwin, and Darwin holds a very special place in my heart because it was actually where I was born, and I lived there for the first 4 years of my life. So I told him as soon as he's got his show up and running, as soon as he's got a date booked, let me know. I'll clear my schedule and I will be there. I'll be there for his first show without a doubt. Whether or not I'm still champion or not, I will definitely be there, because I've always wanted to wrestle in the Northern Territory, and I think it would be absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've wrestled in South Australia, I wrestled in Victoria, New South Wales, Tasmania. So the only ones I really have left are Queensland, the ACT, and Northern Territory. So if I can wrestle in Darwin, if I can get myself to Queensland, then it's just a matter of getting myself to ACT, and I can tick off a goal of mine, which is to wrestle all over this country.
Yeah, and also to help with the young guys coming up too with seminars sort of thing, because you are,
you've got a lot of knowledge.
I mean, you've been in the sport, what, for 10 years now, so you've got a lot that you can help just by doing like a seminar for an afternoon that the guys could really learn from you.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that. I've just recently posted that I'm open and available to hosting seminars anywhere that wants a different perspective, anyone that wants my training expertise. I've been a trainer at the EPW school for 6 years now, and I think I've developed some pretty fantastic students, guys like Logan Gray, Julian Ward, Taylor King, some young guys coming up now like Tipanay, Stella Nix, Jack Edwards. I've been very lucky to work with some very talented guys who are very hard workers, but it's something that I'm passionate about. And as I mentioned before, my vocation, my profession is teaching. So I get to blend those two things, and it's my favorite part of the week, heading down on a Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, and teaching new wrestling techniques and teaching psychology and hopefully instilling the love in the business that was instilled in me by such great trainers like FN Carnage, who's now Tyler Jacobs, Davis Storm, Bobby Marshall. I was lucky enough that Shane Haste was still in town and he was training me as well. Mikey Nichols, whenever he would drop in, he would train me. So I've learned from the absolute best in this country. I've taken myself around to learn from others. I trained with Jack Bonzer and Mick Moretti for a week here and there over in PWA and Nui Pro. I took myself over to train with Mike Quackenbush for 3 intense days. They were 10 hours a day for 3 days. And I try, just every time I go anywhere, I try and drop into their school and see what it's like there and learn things from them, things that I can take back as a wrestler and things that I can take back as a trainer, because the more knowledge I get, the more that I can pass on, the more I can pay it forward to everyone who's helped me in my career.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Being that you've said that you're a little bit older now, is the goal to still try and crack it overseas now, or are you like Mick Moretti and Robbie that, where you want to just build up the Australian industry now, where to the point where you won't have to travel?
I really, really want to help build Australia up to the point where you don't have to travel. But selfishly, I do still have goals of wrestling internationally. I've yet to wrestle overseas, and that's something that I'm really, really keen to do. The closest, I guess, just geographically, would be somewhere like Singapore or New Zealand. So trying to get into a market like that would be great. I'm hoping that by touring around Australia and offering seminars and those sorts of things, it makes myself a little bit more valuable to a card and starts to open a few eyes. With social media and Twitter and those sorts of things, the world's getting a lot smaller. Being on shows like World Series Wrestling, once people start to watch those shows, they'll see me, they'll see my performances. Anyone who watches the Progress shows from earlier in the year, they'll see my performances there. And hopefully I can start to build a bit of a name. It's a bit surreal when you're on Twitter and someone who lives in America that's never seen you wrestle live is tweeting your name and suggesting you for upcoming tournaments in England and the UK and those sorts of things. And it's pretty flattering, but it'd be more flattering to get the actual booking. So my goal is very much before I'm done, I want to wrestle overseas. I want to wrestle as many different places as I can. As I said, I want to tick every single place off the map in Australia, and I want to make Australia a really solid, thriving scene. There's so many people working hard to make it happen. The East Coast is just exploding at the moment. Guys are wrestling just about every weekend. Some guys are getting close to making a full-time living off this. And, of course, everyone that's making big waves with companies overseas as well.
Yeah, and something, too, that you've done and that you do that I really do love is that you're quickly becoming one of my favorite promos in Australian wrestling. And you don't see a hell of a lot of guys, and I don't know why, posting promos or filming promos and getting their character across like that. Is that something you think is sort of lacking a little bit in the Australian industry at the moment? Because like I see all these highlight reels and stuff of the matches and all that, and that's great. I mean, it shows off what guys can do in the ring, But the promos are where you guys get your characters across, get your gimmicks across, get your personalities across. And I don't see a hell of a lot of them at least being posted on social media. Is that something that you take pride in and something that you think might be lacking in the Australian industry at the moment?
I've always been a huge fan of promos. It's always something that I've put a lot of time and effort into. I never have a match. I never go into a match without having cut a promo on it first because, pardon me, if there's no reason that I'm fighting this guy, then why would anyone in the crowd care, and why would anyone in the crowd care who wins or loses? So for me, I always put some sort of story, some sort of investment into my matches, because otherwise, what's the point? Why would I, you know, dress up in my yellow tights and put on my boots and go out there and beat the crap out of each other? What is the point? You know, do I want to win my championship? Do I want to become number one contender? Do I want to prove that I'm better than this guy? And that's just it. The moves are great, but people invest in the characters. People want to hate you or they want to love you, and you need to give them a reason to do that. You need to let them in and show them who you are, and that way they can either relate with you or they can completely dismiss you as someone that they don't want to spend any time on.
Yeah, wrestling is as much an emotional thing as it is a physical thing.
Absolutely. I mean, if The Undertaker just like jogged down to the ring, got in there and started wrestling, no one would care. It's the mystique, it's the character that's built up around it. But I would say that in previous years, it probably has been lacking in Australian wrestling a little bit. I mean, if there has been promos going up, I haven't seen them as much. Not many have come across my way. There are exceptions to the rule. Crackjack for years has been putting out phenomenal promos.
Yes.
Alan Payne over in Melbourne puts out phenomenal
promos. He puts out mini movies.
Mini movies.
Mini avant-garde movies.
He really does. PWA Black Label has been releasing some amazing stuff recently. Their young group of talent over in Sydney that are more specifically in PWA and Nui Pro are just top-notch across the board. Wrestling talent, they've all got a great look, they're all in great shape, and they've got well-defined characters as well. Guys yes. like, you know, Treehugger, Lucci, and Big Fudge, and Matty Wahlberg, and all these guys that are cutting top-notch promos. And you know, I'm on the other side of the country, and I know a lot about these guys, and I'm seeing a lot of these guys, and people over here are talking about them, and they're saying, hey, when's a guy like Ricky South going to come over here? Because people are talking about them. You know, if it's just, oh, the guy in black tights who did that 450 or who did that really great brain buster, that's great. But we want to know who those characters are, and, you know, that's what's going to take them to the next level. By being a fantastic wrestler is great, but the people that have that fantastic wrestler and they put themselves out there and they promote themselves and they really show the crowd who they are and what makes them different and what makes them unique, they're the ones that are really going to succeed.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, like, being that I'm in Queensland at the moment, I don't get to see a hell of a lot of you at EPW. I stumbled across a few of your promos, which made me look at a few of your matches, which made me become a real fan of your work, especially the match you had with Adam Brooks in RCW. Was it last month or the month before?
I'm trying to remember now if it was September, October. I think it was September. So it was, I think it might have been late September, possibly. Or I can't even remember. Actually, it might have been October. It was. It's been a whirlwind couple of months.
They all blend into one big.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a pretty big thrill for me. They originally scheduled to face Davey Green. And then there was an injury, which meant that the main event had to be reshuffled. And I got the opportunity to wrestle Adam Brooks, and he's a phenomenal talent. It's a matter of time before someone snaps him up. So I was very, very fortunate and lucky to get in there and wrestle with him. And I was quite proud of the match that we put out there. I just want to backtrack a little bit, because I just realized that I just picked two random moves off the top of my head, saying that if you can do a 450 and a brainbuster, that's great, but it's not really going to get you over. I in no way meant Robbie Eagles or Jonah Rock. Those two guys are phenomenal. Wow. They are much better wrestlers than I am, and they have got themselves over across the board with their look, with their character, with everything. So I just realized as I said that it sounded like I was taking pop shots. Not at all. Those guys are top notch.
Oh, jeez. That was quite good, actually. all right, mate. Thank you so much for joining me today, mate. And if you want to get your socials out there, and I do encourage anyone out there, get on to EPW, their on-demand service, and then check out the EPW shows, because really, when you're talking the best promotions in the country, you're talking MCW, EPW, RCW, they're all pretty much, in my opinion anyway, on par with each other. There's not...
Yeah, and I'd definitely throw PWA in there as well.
Definitely PWA, yes.
Yeah, they're killing it.
Yeah, I tend to, and I don't know if this is the right thing to do, I tend to sort of meld Nui Pro and PWA into the one sort of promotion, and I don't know if that's wrong of me to do, but anything that comes out of either of those ones is top-notch. That's just my opinion, I guess, and I get it, like assholes, everyone has one. But if I'm talking like EPW is right up, it's always been one of the strongest. If you're talking to a fan of wrestling, and especially Australian wrestling, they will usually say, oh, I got to see MCW, you got to see EPW, you got to see, you know what I mean? It's always like number one or 1A sort of thing. So, and for you to be... representing EPW has got to be a hell of an honour for yourself.
Absolutely. We've had some of the just best talent in the country ever. And what I think, the thing I'm proudest about with EPW is that every year we have our big show, Reawakening. And 2 years ago, we had 620 people and had to turn fans away at the door. And on that card, every single person on the show, bar Damien Slater, who's now moved to Perth, was Perth-born, grown. No internationals, no interstaters, everyone who's there was born and bred and trained in EPW, so we managed to draw a massive crowd without pulling in an interstate or without pulling in an international, just based off the local talent that was there. And I think that that's an absolute testament to the school and to the promotion, especially now we've been going now for 17 years. We've shown that we can stay in there for the long haul, and they're seeing these other companies that have just been doing phenomenal things in these massive venues and getting these big names in and really, really making people take notice in Australia is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the talent is there everywhere around the country. It's also got a lot to do with the promotion of it, the way the promoter promotes the show. I mean, AWA up here in Queensland had a show in Homecoming, which drew 400 fans. And that was basic. Right. I think there was one or two. There was one... Rioni Fujiwara, who came from Japan, but he's a Queenslander by birth, and then Nacho Friends. They were the only people that weren't from Queensland on that card, and it just shows to me that with the right promotion, you can draw that crowd, and once you get that crowd, it's just a matter of impressing them and getting them to come back. And you've definitely done that over the time in EPW. So if you want to get out all your socials and that so people can get in contact with you, promoters around the country, bring on Gavin McGavin. You should already have him in your sights to be booking him. So, yeah, get out your socials, mate. Let everyone know how they can get in contact with you.
Cool. So if they want to get in contact with me, Gavin McGavin on Facebook, at Real Wrestling AUS on Instagram, at Real Wrestling AU on Twitter, Gavin McGavin 163 at hotmail.com. You can contact me for bookings. You can contact me for training seminars. Love to get up to Queensland there. Got a huge section of my family up in Queensland. So, and I keep hearing, why not Queensland? Why not Queensland? Why not Queensland? When these tours come. So if you want the big names in Queensland, then get on the phone and book Gavin McGavin.
That's right. Thank you so much for joining me today, mate.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
All right, it's now time to find out where the action is this weekend. On Saturday night, PCW Ignition at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre in Ferntree Gully. Tickets for that one at pcw.com.au. And also in Melbourne on the Saturday night, Showdown Wrestling at the Reggio Ballroom in Parkville. Now, this one is... I really do encourage anyone or everyone in Melbourne to get out to this show because it is the Enforcer's last match. And... an absolute credit to the sport is the Enforcer. I've seen him a few times. He was down in RCW back when I was down there and then saw him wrestle. And for a guy his size to do the moonsault that I saw him do, unbelievable. Unbelievable worker. And from all reports and from the small time that I did see him or did meet him, great guy. He has a match against Dowie James, which will tear the place apart. So do get down to Showdown Wrestling at the Reggio Ballroom in Parkville this Saturday night. Tickets are at outtix.com.au. That is outix.com.au. So yeah, get out there and support that if you're in Melbourne this weekend. In New South Wales, Friday night, PWA Black Label. Fridays are for the babes at Max Watts in Moore Park. It is the Coliseum Tournament semi-finals. Jack Bonza versus Paris De Silva and Mick Moretti versus Unsocial Jordan. Also on that card, Robbie Eagles takes on Tyler Payne, who is formerly Snapchad. So get out there and support them. Tickets for that one at maxwattstickets.austix.com.au. Tyler Payne, I saw him wrestle up here in Queensland at Pro Wrestling League with Unsocial Jordan not too long ago. And yeah, great work. I really can't wait to see what he does with Robbie Eagles, or what Robbie Eagles does with him. PWA Black Label this Friday night at Max Watts. In AAW, see, it's all the letters A and W. In WA, AAW at the Bald Divas Rec Center, the AAW Championship is on the line. Seth Kincaid defends against Ryan Allen. Tickets for that one at AAWPerth.com. AAW is somewhat having a resurgence as of late, a sort of a reboot, if you will, where some guys have come in to that company and taken over that company. Is that they're really improving the reputation that it did have. So get out there and support AAW, because there can be more than one promotion in the state. EPW is not the only game in town. You've got EPW, you've got NHPW, you got Schwa, you got AAW. So get out there and support all the promotions in Western Australia, or especially this one this weekend, AAW. In Adelaide, my boys at Riot City have Riot City Wrestling's Battle for Supremacy at the Latvian Hall in Wayville. The main event is the RCW Championship on the line. World-class Chris Basso, or Basso, against Zack Sabre for that championship. He is defending it. Also on that card, EPW Championship is on the line. My guest for this week, Gavin McGavin, takes on Katie Trey. Katie Trey is a great young wrestler. We've had him on the show before. And really good to see him get this chance against a really good quality opponent in Gavin McGavin. And I'm really interested to see how this match works out. Also on the card, RCW Women's Championship in a three-way dance. Indy Hartwell taking on Izzy Shaw and Blair Alexis. Tickets for that one are at ticketbooth.com.au. And that is it for what is happening around the country this weekend. Any promotions that what their show mentioned on here, here on Where the Action Is, hit us up on Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustraliaTodd@gmail.com, and we'll mention you on an upcoming episode, or book me and I'll definitely mention it, because, well, that's what I do. I shield myself as much as humanly possible. And that is Where the Action Is this weekend. And that does it for this episode of Wrestle Road Australia. Once again, big thanks to my guest, EPW champion Gavin McGavin. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me, mate. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Remember, we also have our shirts up on Redbubble. Just go on to redbubble.com and search Wrestle Radio Australia. You'll find them. Any proceeds from the sale of any of these shirts go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, supporting men's health, because that is something that we do champion here at Wrestle Radio Australia. And to finish this up, we have Promo Land Ascended on home. Before I do tell you what Promo Land is this week, I just want to make a mention of something, because I didn't do a Views from the East this week, and but it's something I do want to talk about. I put up a sort of a promo that I'd done at Final Destination this weekend. And it was, look, Final Destination was at the Zoo in the Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, and it is an R18 event, and it is pretty much anything goes in these events. But we did have some idiots there that were drinking in excess, and I'm just gonna say they were smashed. And this one guy was breaking with, there's no barrier as such, but there's sort of like a barrier, if you know what I mean. People noticed, and a certain distance away from the ring, mainly to protect themselves, to protect the workers around. And this guy was walking right up to the ring and hitting the mat and almost trying to get into the ring and being an idiot and trying to make it all about himself. And for me, that doesn't wash at all. You're there, and most of the people didn't pay to see a drunk idiot throw his hands up in the air and pretend he's the man. They paid to see good wrestling, and they paid to see the athletes who do work their asses off week in and week out to A, look really good, which they all do, and B, put on a show for those people that paid their $20 or $25 or however much it is to get into these shows. So I guess all I'm saying is, if you do go to one of these R18 shows, and there is, or any show really that serves alcohol, look, go out there, have drinks, have fun, have a good time. Don't be a dick. That's all I'm saying is, just don't be a dick, because you'll end up having a manager get on the microphone and call you a fuckwit, which is what happened to this guy. Anyway, but thank you for coming out and supporting local pro wrestling, mate. Too bad you had to leave early. To send it home, Promo Land this week, I think it's only fair, since we had Gavin McGavin on the show, we have his opponent for this weekend, Katie Trey, and this is a promo he filmed in response to and because of Gavin McGavin for this weekend, Battle for Supremacy. Get out there and get your tickets if you're in Adelaide and see that. In fact, anywhere you are around the country, you know where the shows are, you listen to the show, you listen to this podcast, so you know where the action is. Get out there and support local pro wrestling. And that does it for this week here at Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm Todd Eastman, and we'll see you next week.
Ha ha, Gavin McGavin. You said some pretty hurtful things towards me in that Riot City Wrestling recap. You called me a feral. You called me a mutt. You called me a bitch. And you said that I need to be put down. Well, this isn't news to me, McGavin. I've been called that my whole life. It doesn't bother me anymore. But what does bother me is you came to RCW and threatened me. You came to my home and threatened me. You came to my yard and you threatened me, McGavin. That doesn't sit right with me. But you also issued me a challenge at Battle for Supremacy for your EPW Championship. Now, you must be pretty stupid to think I'm one of those guys that tucks his tail between his legs and runs to the hills and flees to the hills, McGavin. I never shy away from a fight. At Battle for Supremacy, I accept your challenge for the EPW Championship, McGavin. Now, I know you're all too familiar with my methods, McGavin, but note this. I'm not just going to bite you. I'm not just going to take each and every one of your fingers off your hand, McGavin. I'm also going to take your EPW Championship title away from you, McGavin. See you at Battle for Supremacy.